Today's reading is from Matthew 13, 53 to 58. A prophet without honour. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue. They were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. The Lord bless that reading. Amen.
Thank you, Marie. I just want to ask us a question this morning. You don't need to answer. But I don't know if you've ever received a destructive criticism of if someone has ever said something not very helpful about you. Have you ever received such negative feedback from people? Well, naturally, we hate it when people don't like us. But how about when they voice it, when they say it to our hearing? If you are anything like me, when I receive some negative feedbacks, and I call it, some of them, destructive criticism, because it's good to receive feedback. It's good to be criticized. But there are some criticisms that are destructive rather than constructive. If you're anything like me, when that happens, sometimes I feel ashamed, and sometimes I feel angry, genuinely, and sometimes depressed, I must confess. Maybe depending on the circumstances or why they said it or where you know, they said such, being human, right? I don't know if you've ever been accused of being proud, arrogant, too full of yourself, or someone has termed you a Mr. Know-it-all or Mrs. Know-it-all. You know, when someone says these things about us, some people even find it difficult to catch sleep when these things are said about them, and they can't even get it out of their head. This was exactly what Jesus faced when he came home to his hometown. And so the passage before us closes the account of the series of parables, kingdom parables from this chapter that we've been going through. And so this time we see hometown opposition. And so Jesus, after sharing and teaching, decided to take a walk back home. And while I was thinking about what he faced, I remembered a story by Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham. He shared with us earlier last year. Was it last year? Well, sometime now. Time flies. When I was part of the team preparing the volunteers and workers for the God Loves You tour of the UK, I was one of the people traveling around recruiting volunteers and teaching people and, you know, recruiting ushers. And I worked closely with the team from America. But I remember he saying this, but I know most of us might remember this story. In the early days of Billy Graham's crusades, I'm sure you remember Billy Graham, Reverend Billy Graham of blessed memory, they used to sing, "Just as I am without one plea, but thou that Lord washed for me, and now thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God." You know, as they sang crusade after crusade, people would troop and give their lives to Christ. But you know, he said, the press went on saying, "Well, it's just because of the song that people are giving their lives and miracles are happening, just because he's just making them feel emotional." And Mr. Graham decided with the team and said, "All right, the next couple of crusades, no songs. We're not going to sing any song. It's going to be quiet. And then we'll make the altar call." And so he says, on that occasion, the crusade began, and then no song at all, yet people gave their lives to Christ. You know what happened? The next day, the press, the same press, went on and said, "Why are you not singing? Give us a song." Strange. Yeah, this was exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ faced. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. He was already in Capernaum, where he based his ministry at the time he was given the parables of the kingdom. And so after teaching and preaching and miracles happened, and you know, he served the Lord and served the people, he decided to travel back to his hometown of Nazareth. Yes, we know he was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. And yes, you remember, the Bible also said when the angel of God spoke to Joseph and Mary and asked them to run down to Bethlehem, to Nazareth. So he decided to move down to his hometown. He decided to go. And when he had come to his own home country, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Where is he coming from?" I am thinking that his disciples were expecting some grand welcome. You know, homeboy made us proud, lined up on the streets, "Proud of you." Yes. What did he get? Nothing like that. They decided to turn against him. Because at this time, he was already famous. He was already a controversial figure. He was already the object of both immense enthusiasm. People wanted to hear him and see him. But also, he was also an object of deepening opposition. People thought he brought something completely new, which he did, a new way of life, because he'd been spreading the message of the kingdom of heaven. He's been bringing a new way of life. And so, instead of the newspaper headlines, "Local boy, very, very good, made us proud," what did he get? Contempt. And it's interesting how they said it. "This man, where did this man..." Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. So it was just an insultive way of mentioning Jesus. And we are told that this wasn't the first time that he's visited Nazareth. Maybe he wanted to give them another opportunity, another chance to believe him. Unfortunately, they rejected him again. And they were amazed. Rather than mentioning him by the name Rabbi, Jesus, they said, where did this man, this common guy, we know you, where have you got this from? You know why they say that? Because he was not part of the rabbinical school. They knew that for you to become a respected rabbi, you must have gone through the rabbinical school. You must have been educated by the higher mighty. But where did this guy get all this from? He's not been to school. He's not been to Bible college. He's not learned anything of our law. So where is he coming from? And they were astonished. Yes, they were amazed. They were astonished because he was bringing something strange, something powerful, something different. His words were full of wisdom. And not just wisdom, but miraculous powers. He wasn't just speaking to them like everyday rabbi. He was healing the sick. He was putting to practice what the word says. He was going about raising the dead, doing something outrightly out of the ordinary. So they acknowledged that because they were amazed. They were astonished. They recognized that something was different from the Jesus they grew up with. He's gone off doing his ministry, and he's come back with this amazement, this power. But sadly, they were astonished, but they were not admonished. What he said just astonished them. You know, there are people who have worldly guilt, but not godly guilt. Something touches them, they hear the word of God, but they don't make a step to change their ways. But that's not what Jesus wants us to do. Where did this man get his wisdom? It was a derogatory statement because they were too familiar with him. So despite the undeniable power, undeniable miracles, they treated him with derisive disinterest. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. They didn't even mention their sisters' names. And his sisters. Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things from? These things. These common things. Where then did he get all these? We know him. We know his mom. We know his sisters. We know his brothers. Then where did he get all these things from? And when you read this same account from Mark. Mark has it to say that rather than calling him the carpenter's son, they called him the carpenter. I'll read it for us. In Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Mark chapter 6. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this, again, watch this, Mary's son. Mary's son, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? And this is the only place we are told that Jesus is called the son of Mary. This is the only place that Mark renders it that he was called carpenter. And then he's called the son of Mary, all doing just to belittle him. That was all they were trying to do, to criticize him destructively, even to his hearing. Isn't this the carpenter, ordinary carpenter, not even well educated, according to our own rabbinical laws, ordinary carpenter, son of Mary? And in verse 57 to 58, and they took offense at him. But rather than Jesus lashing out against them or paying them with their own coin, he said this: a prophet is not without honor except in his own town. And he asked this, and in his own house, in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So Jesus didn't reply them the way they had wished. He was human, yes. He was truly God and truly human. But rather he said, yes, I know that a prophet is not without honor, except using a double negative there. And they took offense at him. And again, reading from the account of Mark, Mark adds that even his own relatives. Mark chapter 6 verse 4, I read it for us. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and among his relatives and in his own home. Why he said that was that at that time, his brothers did not even believe in him. His family, his immediate family, they didn't believe in him at that time. And you know, John also had this to say in another place relating to that. John chapter 7 verse 5. For even his own brothers did not believe him. And you remember John chapter 1, where he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. John 1 from verse 9. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We know that his brothers later on believed in him. James went on to write the epistle, and Jude, which is Judas, it's a variant of Jude, went on also to write the book of Jude. So we know that later on they turned around and believed in him, followed him, and became mighty vessels in the hands of the Lord. We are not told about his sisters, but I also believe if the brothers believed in him later on, also the sisters might have also believed in him and followed him and went the way of the faith. So they were offended at him. Rather than receiving encouragement, they were offended. I don't know if you've tried to serve people with all your heart, try to do something nice to them or say something nice to them, what do you get in return? People getting offended at you. Don't just worry. Don't let it bore you down. Don't let it deprive you of sleep, because these things happen. If they happen to our Lord Jesus Christ, they will definitely happen to us. But how we handle what, you know, people throw at us, it matters, yeah? Yeah, how we handle those things. Just make up your mind that as you walk this earth, things are going to come up to you. People are going to say things. Naturally, things are going to come that will try you and shake you a little bit. But make up your mind that you're not going to let those things define you. Don't let them make you, you know, show forth who you are not. Because that's not who you are. You are more than this. We are more than this. We are made in the image of the Lord. We are made to show love, kindness to people, no matter who they are, no matter how they receive it. That's how we are wired. So let's not allow the situation to change us. That's not who we are. We are wired to show the love of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to close with us today by sharing one or two things I believe we will learn from this passage of scripture. Number one, apart from the eyes of faith, no one will see Jesus for who he truly is. I believe Jesus is the Son of Man and Son of God. He was 100% man and also 100% God. You remember in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. So, apart from the eyes of faith, we will not see Jesus for who he really is. And again, let's remain open and receptive of the workings of God, even when these things come from unfamiliar and unexpected channels. I believe it was familiarity that led the Nazarenes to a place of unbelief. Jesus was a local boy. The townspeople knew him already. They've known him for years. I would say they knew him, but they didn't know him. You know, they knew him, but they didn't really know him. So let's learn to welcome the wisdom and revelations of God, which may come from ordinary places, familiar places. God can use anyone to speak to us. Our spouse, our children, our dog sometimes, our pets, yes. Circumstances could be what the Lord will use to speak to us. Let's be open to receive from the Lord, whatever and however they come. And also, I've been reflecting on this. Sometimes prejudice and unbelief can blind us to the divine revelation in our midst. You know, preconceptions, they say, often predispose a person to bias and to prejudice. And this keeps us from seeing with our eyes of faith and being open to God's surprises from unexpected places. We only expect God maybe to answer us from here, but he comes through here. We look down upon that channel and we miss God. We are expecting, you know, to hear something from someone and they didn't speak to us after the service, and someone was speaking to us, we didn't expect them to say something from God. But God might have prepared them to be the channel to bring our miracle, the wisdom that will kind of set us free from the things that have been going through our minds at that time. Preconceptions sometimes predispose us to bias and prejudice. And also, let's have the faith to welcome God's miracles in our lives, daily, small miracles. There are smaller things, tiny things that God does when we are expecting a bigger miracle, right? I was once preaching in Nigeria, and people were asked to sort of come forward for prayers. And someone had a little headache. You know, I don't know what it was. Was it a headache? But anyway, he felt that was just something to bother the Lord with. He felt that I needed only when I have a need of £1 million. Yeah, I'll bother the Lord with that. But God wants us to bring to him whatever need we have. Might be just a small, tiny, you know, little thing that we are in need of. Let's bring all these things to the Lord, that he wants us to come to him with the eyes of faith. They refer to Jesus as, no, I will come to that later. They refer to Jesus as the carpenter. And yes, he is the carpenter. And you know what? A carpenter knows there's a lot of potential in a log. A carpenter knows that. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this now. You know, a carpenter knows that he needs some work and a little bit time to make something usable. And also, a carpenter knows that finest things are made from the hardest wood. You know, sometimes I might feel like a wood. I might feel that I'm no use to anyone. The carpenter knows that there is a lot of potential in a log. And he's always patient with the wood. And that's how God is patient with me. He knows what is in there. Even when the world refuses to see, he knows the potential that is in me. He knows it. And he also knows that it takes time and a careful work to bring out something usable from me. Even though I might have passed through rejection, passed through horrible experiences from my relationships, even though I have gone through things in life, yeah, I've made mistakes financially, I've made mistakes relationally, even though I'm feeling down and out, he takes time. He's patient. He's a carpenter. He knows what he's doing in our lives. Yes, he is the carpenter's son. He is the carpenter. Yes, he is. He is a carpenter because he knows what he's got in us. Has anyone ever felt underrated before? Have you ever felt people throwing mockery at you, saying you are just an ordinary log, you can't even do anything? Yes, the carpenter is at work in you, and he will bring out something usable, something powerful, something miraculous. Have you ever been impatient with Jesus? Yes, I have. There has been some times I've prayed and prayed and I expected the next minute the answers to come, yet nothing. He takes time and work because he is a carpenter. He wants to finish up his good work so that something beautiful will come out of us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He wants to bring something beautiful. I feel like the Lord is encouraging someone this morning. I just wanted to receive the word. He wants to bring something in you. No matter the experiences, no matter the hardship, no matter the circumstances surrounding. Yes, you can explain, you don't understand my situation. I don't, but Jesus does. You don't understand what I've gone through. You don't understand. You're not like me. No one has suffered as I have. No one can even endure like me. I don't. But he does. Yes, he does, because he knows all of us. He knows us by name. And he knows what he's doing in your life. And I just want you to believe that after now, he will give you a miracle, a testimony. He will give you a miracle. I feel like saying that to someone. He will give you a testimony. He will give you a miracle. People of old tried, but it didn't work out for them against us. Jesus showed us the way. Like this guy, I'm showing you his picture now. The Emperor Julian. His name, Latin name, is Flavius Claudius Julianus. He was the emperor of Rome from 361 to 363. He was a very notable philosopher, and he was an author in Greek. He was educated by Christians, had a privileged education, but at some point in his life, he rejected Christianity. And in fact, he promoted paganism in the place of Christianity. And so he will be remembered by Christians as Julian the Apostate because of the way he tried to wipe out Christianity. So there was once a terrible persecution under him. And at that time, a philosopher mocked a Christian. You may have heard this before. So a philosopher mocked a Christian and asked him about Jesus. "What do you think the carpenter's son is doing now?" They asked the Christian. The Christian wisely and promptly answered him and said, "He is building a coffin for you and Julian and all his enemies." And Julian was killed in 363. And historians say he was killed by a Christian. Some say he was killed by just some random warriors. But there was a historian by the name Theodoret who recorded Julian's last words when he was pierced with this random spear or sword. And he said, "You have conquered, O Galilean." And after a day or so, he died. Galilean, meaning Jesus, he was against Jesus. He was against Christianity. And they mocked people saying, "What is the carpenter doing now? He's just a carpenter." But while he was dying, pierced with an arrow from somewhere, he held onto himself with the blood and, you know, splashed the blood up there and said, "Oh, you have conquered, oh Galilean. Finally, the carpenter has conquered. Finally, he's got me." And he gave up the ghost. Yes, they mocked the time pass, like Julian and some of those, and he was the last ungodly Roman emperor, the very last one. Because when he died, the people now, fear was everywhere, and they didn't want to go down the same route. And I'm sure someone might remember. He said this at some point because he was an author. He said this, and I'll quote from one of his books, written in Greek, of course, but now written in English. "The impious Galileans devoted themselves to philanthropy on behalf of the poor. And at some point, he tried to duplicate that, to be in competition with the Christians by doing charity work to the pagan shrines. They have their so-called love feats, their hospitality, their service of tables. They have many ways of carrying it out and yet call it by many names. And the result is they have led many into their atheism." He referred Christianity as atheism because he wanted to wipe out everything. But at last, Jesus conquered. And so he believed Jesus conquered. Let us pray for ourselves. For everything we are going through, may the Lord, he knows us. He knows what we are going through. May the Lord come through for us. Yes, Lord. You are the carpenter, indeed. You know what you are doing, Lord. You will bring out something beautiful from every experience that we go through. You know the way that we will follow. Lord, we pray that you will walk with us every step of the way. I pray, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice, going through some issues at this time. Lord, you specialize in freeing us from everything that knocks us down. I ask, Lord, that you will walk in our lives. Lord, walk around our situation to bring out something beautiful, something miraculous. Lord, may you give us a bright testimony. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I ask, Lord, that you will move on, Lord, and move with your child. For what he is going through, for what she is going through, only you can understand and only you can show the way. Lord, I pray and I have this feeling that someone needs this prayer. Lord, may you open the way of testimony. Open the way of breakthrough, Lord. May you wipe away all those mockery and all those things that are negative, throwing at them, Lord. Father, we ask that you will arise and show your steps strong on behalf of those who trust you. I pray, Lord, that you will come through, Lord, for your children. For every door that has been sort of closed, I ask that you will open them, Lord, now. Every opportunity that has been closed to our face, Lord, I pray that you will open them, Lord, now. You know, Lord, your child needs this open door. Lord, I pray that you will open those doors now. Lord, by your outstretched hand, open those doors of opportunity, those doors of miracles, those doors of financial breakthrough. Open them, Lord, now, in the name of Jesus the Christ. The doors of healing, Lord, may they open now. The doors of breakthrough, we pray that you will open them, Lord. You are the porter, and we are the clay. Do your work in our lives, Lord, and to the glory of your holy name. Father, we thank you, for we welcome you, and we welcome your works in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Go ahead and speak to him. You feel like pouring out your heart to him. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead. Pour out your heart to him as we close. Go ahead. I give you permission to do that. It's just between you and him. Go ahead. Pour out your heart to him. He is here. He is here. He can hear you. Yes, he can hear the language you're speaking now. Someone is speaking in a different language than English. I say he is hearing you now. I can feel it in me. He is hearing you as you are praying in a foreign language. He is hearing you now. He can hear you. He can hear you. Go ahead and pour out your heart to him. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we speak against every voice of negativity. We speak against every voice that comes from the pit of hell. Lord, we silence them now. We silence them now. Let the voice of faith well up in us. The voice of faith. Yes, Lord. Thank you. For Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Lord, as we hear your word, let faith arise in us, Lord. I pray that your faith will arise in your child now. Yes, Lord, as they pour out their hearts to you. Lord, I pray that there be open doors. Lord, there be a restoration of things that have been stolen by the enemy. A restoration, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit, I feel that you are at work in the life of someone, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit go ahead. Finish your work in our lives. Bring us something beautiful, something miraculous, something full of testimonies, something gracious. Things are different now. Things are different now. Something happens to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Things I did before have passed away. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.